We're welcoming Ian Cook, the Executive Director of the Neponset River Watershed Association, to the program to chat with us a little bit about what that group is, what it does, how you might be able to get involved with them as well, and also their bowl plans going forward. So, Mr. Cook, nice to virtually meet you.
Very much so. Thank you for having me on a beautiful day today.
Yes, indeed. A great day to get out on the Neponset River, for sure. Hopefully that continues. But I was inspired to give you a call and contact the group. I've heard of the association before, just being in the community and living in the area. However, when I got your spring newsletter with your 5-year strategic plan, I said, well, you know, this is something people need to know more about. So if you could maybe give us a little overview of what the association is.
Sure. So we are a private nonprofit conservation group. We have actually been around for quite a while. We were founded in 1967. And our mission is to basically clean up and protect the Neponset River. And that includes, you know, the actual river, plus, you know, its various tributaries and the surrounding land that makes up the watershed that that ultimately flows into the river, which includes about half of Quincy.
Yeah, I was most familiar when the Quincy River Walk was restored and then opened to the public. I said, you know, there's a resource there that's untapped, and there's probably other areas and other communities that are like that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, a big challenge within the Neponset River over the years has been just getting to it. You know, back if you go back to the, you know, 50s, 60s, even further back, the Neponset was pretty dirty. You know, it was smelly, it was unattractive, and a lot of communities just sort of oriented themselves away from the river because it wasn't attractive. You know, I think the way the shoreline in Quincy was developed, it you know, historically was pretty industrial and has evolved into a more kind of commercial residential state now. And people are sort of realizing, like, hey, we sort of stuck this river back behind these places nobody ever went, but it's actually kind of nice back there. So we were very pleased to be able to help create the Quincy River Walk over the last, really took probably almost 10 years to get all the various pieces in. And there's still some more pieces we'd like to finish. But getting access to the river so people can get out and enjoy it is one of our big priorities.
So who is the association, Mr. Cook? You know, who are you made up of, and what is the watershed itself?
So the association, it's really a nonprofit corporation. We have members who are in a legal sense are kind of the owners of the organization, almost like stockholders in a for-profit corporation. Of course, we're not a for-profit corporation, but we exist to help our members work together and achieve the organization's goals. And the watershed is an area of land that includes about 120 square miles. Actually starts up in Foxborough, right next to Gillette Stadium, where the river starts. And the river sort of makes its way through the middle of the watershed, 30 miles to Boston and Quincy, and really Squanum Point on the Quincy side and the gas tank on the Boston side are really the official end of the river. Beyond that, you're into Dorchester Bay. And along the way, the river and the watershed takes in parts of 14 cities and towns. About 330,000 people live in the watershed. So it's a pretty good sized area, all the way up to Stoughton. We get a little bit of Medfield in there, Dedham, Milton, Canton. So it's a pretty good sized area.
And how is the Neponset River currently utilized? You know, what are its resources now? How is it being tapped?
Sure, the river is is certainly a recreational resource, and increasingly so over time. As we mentioned, the Quincy River Walk. You know, the wonderful, if folks want to cross the river over into Boston, we have the DCR Neponset Greenway, which has been a just incredible resource for lots of people to get out and enjoy. More and more people are discovering the Neponset as a paddling destination. It's a great place to go canoeing or kayaking. But there are other kinds of uses as well. A big one that a lot of people down Quincy way probably don't realize. Up in the headwaters, about 120,000 people get some or all of their drinking water from groundwater wells associated with the watershed. So in the upper part of the watershed, the water supply is a big consideration. And then, of course, the other thing that we're very focused on is wildlife. you know, the both fish and wildlife. The river is a pretty significant wildlife habitat area in and of itself. In the Quincy area, we have the Neponset Estuary, which is the part of the river where saltwater and freshwater meet, and that's been designated by the state as what's called an area of critical environmental concern. Hmm. There's the largest salt marshes down this way in the city of Boston, within the footprint of the city of Boston, and including certainly many areas in Quincy as well. More than 200 species of birds, all kinds of aquatic life, stripers. More and more frequently we're hearing about seals getting spotted. We have bald eagles living along the estuary in Milton now. So really a lot of a great resource for wildlife as well.
And kind of how would you categorize the state of the river right now in terms of, you know, health and quality?
So the Neponset has come a long way. You know, in the area right around Quincy, you know, a lot of the effort to clean up the harbor has also benefited that part of the river, because a lot, particularly right, you know, if you go down to Squanum Point, that area, a lot of the water down there is, it's really harbor water coming up as much as it's river water coming down.
Yeah.
So the Neponset has gotten much, much cleaner, but even inland pollution sources have been greatly abated. We now, you know, near Squanum Point area, we probably almost always meet swimmable water quality standards now. You know, the exception would be during wet weather when it's raining and you're getting runoff from streets and parking lots and so forth. A lot of people assume that that water just sort of goes into the storm drain on their street. And a lot of people assume that that goes off to a water treatment plant or something. But in fact, in almost all cases, it just gets piped straight to the nearest waterway. And that's really our biggest remaining water quality challenge at this point, storm drains and stormwater runoff, polluted rain runoff from roads and streets.
Yeah, I know. I've seen in Quincy several of the storm drains are kind of labeled to let folks know that, hey, this empties out right into Quincy Bay and is contributing to the water pollution. So it sounds like a similar issue with the river as well.
Exactly. Exact same problem that Quincy struggled with for years along the beach. You know, making sure that there's no, you know, in a lot of communities we have older sewer and drain infrastructure, and you can have situations where sewage finds its way out of the sewer and into the drain and then from there into the environment, but also just the road runoff itself, you know, picking up pet waste, you know, being mindful of fertilizer, you know, not dumping things in storm drains is all important stuff. And it's stuff that really, you know, we can't sort of point to some big factory or something. It's kind of collectively all of us who have to keep track of that. And of course, one of the other things that we need to be doing is modernizing our drainage infrastructure, because there are various techniques that you can use now. For example, if you were a developer coming to Quincy and you wanted to build a big development, the city would require you to install devices to intercept the runoff from your parking lots and clean it up before it gets discharged. But of course, we have a tremendous area of existing infrastructure that was built without those features. So upgrading that infrastructure over time is also a big priority for us.
I see. Could we learn things from other cities or even countries that are doing things better with their rivers than we are currently?
There are lots of examples of people doing innovative things all over the world. I don't think Quincy's not in a place where it needs remedial education on these topics, but you know, there's always lots to learn from other jurisdictions. I think, you know, here in the U.S., there's been some real groundbreaking work done around the Chesapeake Bay. That area has really been a leader in terms of dealing with stormwater as they try to resurrect the bay. It's kind of a multi-state effort down there. Certainly there are interesting examples from Europe, but there's great things happening right here in Quincy too. We just worked with the DPW to put together a grant application to retrofit one of Quincy's schools with devices that would help to both green up the environment around the school, but also sort of capture some of that rain runoff that's just going directly to the river now and run it through some plants and soil and microbes and things that would help clean it up.
Now, which school is that, Mr. Cook?
The Montclair School.
Oh, okay. So an existing older building, not one of the new structures. So retrofitting is possible then.
Yes, it's a bit of an art because, you know, obviously it's a lot easier to do this when you design the whole building around that from the start. And here, you know, the Montclair School is a great example. You know, there's a lot of pavement. There's a lot of activity going on there. You know, you got employees who need to park. You got kids who need a place to stay, space to play outside. And, you know, you have to be kind of clever to find ways to wedge these things in that don't conflict with other uses. But I think we have a pretty good plan to do that. And hopefully the powers that be at the state will want to help Quincy implement that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. In terms of legislation, are there things that are pending or that you would like to see happen on Beacon Hill?
There's certainly, you know, a lot of... Well, there's plenty of things we would like to see happen on Beacon Hill.
Yeah.
Most of that is really under the umbrella of climate adaptation right now, as opposed to stormwater. There certainly are some stormwater policy things, but they're more of sort of regulatory changes as opposed to legislative changes.
Okay.
There is definitely some significant legislation pending on the climate side, though, because one of you had alluded to we've recently completed a strategic plan for the organization. And, you know, obviously we've been working for more than 50 years now trying to clean up the Neponset River. We've come a long way. There's still more to do, but there is this sort of enormous looming challenge around climate change now. Really one of the big focuses for us over the next few years is going to be working with communities to help them implement measures to basically get ready for the amount of climate change that's simply unavoidable at this point. You know, it's still very important, extremely important, to sort of try to reduce the curve, bend the curve on emissions, just like we've been trying to bend the curve on the pandemic.
Right.
But for better or worse, there is a certain amount of climate change that's going to happen, and cities and towns really need to start getting serious about getting ready for that. And Quincy is a community that's really seen some of those impacts already. And on the legislative front, that's really where there's some big stuff pending at the state level, the so-called Green Works Bill being a big component of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Quincy's preparing for sea level rise with higher seawalls and mitigation in that way. But there are many rivers as well that could pose as equal a problem, if not more. The Furnace Brook deposit, certainly another one.
Yeah.
Things you don't think of.
Yeah, Quincy sort of gets it from both sides, right? You've got water coming up from the ocean, but you've got it coming down the Neponset. You've got localized drainage issues. You know, one of the biggest challenges I think we're going to see with climate change is not it's not the really big floods, which is not to say the really big floods aren't a problem, but as the kind of normal smallish floods start to get bigger and get bigger to the point where they start to overwhelm our local drain systems and create, you know, more frequent and severe just sort of street flooding on a frequent basis, I think people aren't realizing that that's going to be a significant problem. You know, those huge events are still going to be pretty rare. They're going to be bad when they happen, but these sort of more medium-sized, more frequent events are going to get to be a real challenge.
Yeah, and it can be a public health issue as well if it infiltrates the sewer system, correct? And then you have the instance of sewage backup and, you know, sewage in the streets.
Absolutely. That is not a good thing. I mean, one of the things that has been really notable about flooding, you know, we've seen these catastrophic floods, you know, down in Texas and other parts of the country in recent years. And one of the things that's been most problematic about it is it's not like you're being flooded with clean water when that happens, unfortunately. Your sewer system fails and now you're flooded with sewage and gets in your house and you've got all kinds of, you know, tremendous issues.
Yeah.
From a public health point of view and just a property damage point of view, you know, so it's not as much as we do, you know, aim to make the river healthy and safe for fish and recreation. There's some other very compelling issues at stake with all this sort of work.
So you did mention the strategic plan. There are six key goals in your plan for the next 5 years. I wonder if you might just kind of outline them for us.
Sure. So one, we've already touched on a couple of them. Yep. One is climate adaptation, working with cities and towns to try to help them get prepared for what's coming with climate change. And a big focus for us there, frankly, a big focus across all our work, is trying to help communities learn from one another and work together on a regional basis. You know, one I've sort of been in some, there's a program called the MVP program now that the state has going, which Quincy has been through. It's the Municipal Vulnerability Preparedness Program, which is a pretty straightforward plan, kind of grassroots planning process that cities and towns do around future climate concerns and getting ready for those things. And I've had the chance to participate in these plans for most of our communities, but it's a town by town, city by city effort. And one of the things that has really struck me is, you know, you'll be in one town, you know, you'll be in a town that's at the headwaters of the watershed, and they'll say, oh, flooding, yeah, we got to make sure those floodwaters, you know, we keep the river clear so the floodwaters can get out of town fast so we're not flooded. And then you go to the town downstream and they say, well, we got to make sure that the floodwaters are held back upstream of us so they don't get to us. You know, so it's sort of like everybody's pointing at cross purposes. And you know, in Massachusetts, municipalities, understandably, they're focused on their boundaries. Sure. But these issues go beyond municipal boundaries, and you can get some unexpected consequences if you don't keep the big picture in mind.
Yeah, so trying need the aerial view as opposed to the ground view, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So trying to make sure, A, that all of our communities are really moving forward on those processes, and B, that they're kind of having that big picture and talking to one another, learning from one another, and taking a regional approach where it makes sense. So that's the climate goal. We've talked a lot about water pollution.
Yep.
That's always been kind of one of our tried and true goals, and really the big key there is the stormwater runoff from streets and parking lots. And again, it comes down in large part to working with cities and towns. The next one is water conservation.
Yeah.
I mentioned that there's a lot of water supply activity out at the headwaters of the river. That's a good thing. It's a valuable resource, but it also presents some challenges for the river because we're removing water to use it in our homes. And the way our sewer systems work, none of that water ever comes back to the Neponset watershed. It generally all goes into sewer systems that lead somewhere else, in most cases out to Deer Island.
Right.
So it's a big net loss for the river, and something that's going to be more and more challenging as, you know, climate change starts bringing us not only more big rain events, but also more big drought events. That's one of the ironies of climate change. It really pushes the extremes.
Yes.
So another big one is protecting habitats for fish and wildlife. Something we've been working on for a long time is restoring the river's historic herring and shad runs. These are migratory fish that would like to be able to come up the river, but are blocked by dams right now. A real boon for fishermen if you could get the herring and shad restored. If you want to get fishermen excited, talk about herring and shad. Not because they want to catch herring and shad, but because they want to catch the fish that want to eat the herring.
It's bait fish, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. and then also working to protect salt marshes is another big goal for us. And then number five is opening up recreational access. You know, what is the point of having a clean, healthy river if nobody can get out there and enjoy it? And conversely, if nobody can get out there and enjoy it, who's going to be interested in bothering to try to take care of it?
Right.
So
ownership would lead to a better caretaking.
Exactly. It's sort of a virtuous cycle of people getting to know and love the river and then protecting it. And then the last one is really to build a diverse and lasting constituency for the river, to get more people involved. You know, we're trying to really engage more volunteers. We're trying very hard to reach out to more diverse communities around the watershed. We have a number of communities that have minority populations that we want to see get more involved in the river. And then a big piece of all that is also education. Mm. You know, people need to know about the river. They need to know about the steps they can take to help protect it just as they go about their daily lives, and hopefully be enthusiastic about making sure it gets the attention and the investment it needs.
Can anyone be a part of the Neponset River Watershed Association? How does that happen, or how does one get involved?
Absolutely. So if you want to be an official member of the Watershed Association, anybody is welcome to do that. You okay. can go to our website, and there's a small dues payment, and you'll get a newsletter and so forth. If that's a step too far for you, you can also just sign up to get our free email updates, sort of find out what's going on, learn more about the organization. And then the other thing folks can do is become volunteers. You know, we have been a little bit stymied this year. You know, one of our big volunteer efforts is a river cleanup event. We were sure. scheduled to have a major river cleanup that was probably going to have about 350 people participating, with a number of sites in Quincy back at the end of April, but that unfortunately couldn't happen. So we're hoping, we're waiting to see what we typically have two river cleanups a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. We're still kind of a little on the fence how this is going to work in the spring, yeah. or excuse me, in the fall, if we sure. can sort of make this into lots of little, you know, 10-person events that mm-hmm. are safe to participate in, or we may have to, you know, wait till next year to really get back into this. But lots of opportunities to volunteer through cleanups, through water quality monitoring, through other projects. And again, you can find out about that on our website, which is just neponset.org.
Are you active on social media also?
We are, yes. We do Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. So folks can find you there as well. Yep. Curious, do you think with the pandemic, you know, more folks have had time basically to learn about the Neponset River and the association or other outdoor, you know, climatological issues? So we saw how we could drastically reduce air pollution, you know, when the first wave of shutdowns hit across the world, and to see some of those photos from NASA of the before and the after really kind of makes you feel empowered that you can actually make a difference.
Yeah, it does. You know, there's something to be said for, you know, not that I would wish the pandemic on anybody, but when you're forced to improvise by circumstances, it's amazing what you can do and what the results can be. I think those air quality figures you referenced are one of the most conspicuous examples. I do think that one of the consequences of the pandemic has been that local open spaces and natural areas have been getting a lot of use. And mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate. I mean, it's sort of, people have had to go out and explore and discover new places. I think one of the things we've really been encouraging, as some of the really well-known outdoor spots have gotten sort of very heavily used, perhaps even overused. Yeah. In recent days, we've really been trying to introduce people to some of the lesser known spots that they can get out and enjoy that won't be so crowded in our local area. And another thing that's interesting is interest in recreation on the water seems to have also increased. Hmm. We have a paddling guide for the river, and we've had lots and lots of people wanting the paddling guide. We've been told by some of our friends who run kayak shops that it's like almost impossible to get a kayak now because everybody wants a kayak.
Interesting.
They're the perfect vessel for the times, I guess.
Yeah, we see the same thing with bicycling, and you know, bike shops yeah. are selling out. So yeah,
exactly. It's very strange where some businesses have been impacted, but some businesses have also been busier than ever.
Yeah, are there bike paths along the Neponset River anywhere, or walking paths accessible?
There are certainly, you know, in Quincy, the most obvious one is the Quincy River Walk right. and the area around Squanum Point. In Dorchester, then the Neponset Greenway is probably the signature walking path. You know, it's basically it's not far from Quincy. You can just hop over the 3A bridge and it's right there, and you okay. can ride almost all the way to the Blue Hills off road.
Nice
spot. And that's actually a paved bike path whereas the Quincy River Walk is more of a gravel kind of trail.
Gotcha.
And there's lots of other spots as well. Further upstream, the Burma Road is another beautiful spot through some of the freshwater marshes up in Neponset. And our website actually includes a variety of places people can get out.
I wanted to ask about that. Is there an actual map of the Neponset River? You know, that folks can access and follow along.
Yeah, we've got a little map people can print out that has, you know, little dots with all the canoe launches and so forth. And we also have that little paddle guide, which is like a little fold-out waterproof thing. Okay. It's got trails and canoe launches, as well as a little discussion about different spots along the way.
Great. What is the scene behind you, Mr. Cook? What part of the river is that?
This is the Neponset Estuary. So you're sort of looking, if you can see that smokestack right behind my head there, and the boats in the background, we're sort of looking from the expressway over towards the Milton Yacht Club.
Oh, all right.
An aerial view, sort of Milton Hill is kind of to our left and the salt marshes in Dorchester are to our right.
Gotcha. Very nice. A nice fall scene there too. And does the river freeze over in the winter?
Generally not. You know, it'll get kind of crusty along the edges, or occasionally it will, you'll get little sections that'll freeze up. But the river itself, because the water's moving, even in relatively placid spots, it doesn't really freeze solid like a pond.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, is there anything else that you think we should add right now to let folks know about the association or the Neponset River itself?
Well, I think I've talked a lot. Hopefully I've answered people's questions. There's lots of information at the website if people are interested, you know, or on our social media, both Facebook and Twitter. Our handle is NEPRA, which is our terrible non-pronounceable acronym, which is NEP, as in Peter, RWA. And just encourage people to check it out, get involved, and get out and enjoy the river. I mean, that's what it's there for.
Yeah, that's sounds like it would be a great maybe a scouting project, or you know, a Girl Scout or a 4-H club, or even a fifth grade class or something, just to adopt a little section of the river and take care of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate your time, Mr. Cook. Great to talk to you. Hopefully we help get the word out for you. And if we can do anything else here at QATV, please reach out to us.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.